Blog Talk Radio.
This is Talk 29, the best in talk.
To another edition of Tom B. Stone's Don't Get Me Started. I am your host, of course, Tom B. Stone. A lot to unpack today, but I first invite you to call in and join the fracas at 563-999-3754. That's 563-999-3754. Or you could also feel free to join me in the chat room where I will address questions, comments, and opinions there as well. Remember, you can join us every week here on Talk 29, Blog Talk Radio, every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just a little disclaimer, the topics I am going to cover here may be controversial and have some suggestive language. I'm not on this show to practice political correctness. I am here to give you the truth. And with that being said, anybody who is easily offended or have children in the room or close proximity to whatever device you may be listening to me on, you may want to tell them to leave the room. Or if they're easily offended, shut my show off. Now, ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, I want to apologize for my absence last week. I do have a lot to unpack today. I am first going to address the 800-pound elephant in the room, is the fact that the liberal nut jobs have never ceased to amaze me by doubling down on the racism in music narrative. I'm, of course, talking about Jason Aldean's new song, Try That in a Small Town. The liberal nut jobs have gotten on social media, have gotten on every news outlet there is, and basically have said that Jason Aldean depicted racism, violence, et cetera, in his song. And in his video. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have seen the video, which I have, and watched it over and over again, I did not see one bit of racism in this video. I, of course, being a musician, songwriter myself, have read the lyrics, and the song does not talk about in any aspects of this song at all about racism or violence or the KKK or lynching or anything to that effect. But it didn't stop the left from attempting to cancel Jason Aldean's song. In fact, they actually removed his video from CMT due to the outcry and how many how it was depicting racism. Let's read a small excerpt, shall we? Sucker punch somebody on a sidewalk, carjack an old lady at a red light, pull a gun on the owner of a liquor store. You think it's cool? Well, act a fool if you like. Cuss out a cop, spit in his face, stomp on the flag and light it up. Yeah, you think you're tough. Well, try that in a small town. That's the first verse. You know what that's saying, folks? Now, if you're a liberal and you're listening to this show, get up close to the radio. Get up close to the speaker because I'm going to educate you. The reason you don't like small towns is because we, in a small town, look after each other. We help each other out, and we look after one another. Young, old, you name it, we do it. The reason why the left does not like small towns is because we are not them. We are not reliant on government to support us. We're reliant on each other to support each other. And that's what America is all about. If somebody comes to you and says, I'm from the government and I'm here to help, run. Because they're not here to help you. They're here to buy your vote. And that's exactly what Jason Aldean is, in my opinion, getting at in this song. Now, I say that because the song that was canceled in less than 24 hours, yet less than a year ago, there was a song on the radio, on MTV, on pretty much every station there is, talking about how it's so wonderful that there's black and women empowerment because Cardi B, who's come from nothing, comes up and has a song that's a number one hit on the Billboard 100. Let's read some of the lyrics, shall we? I do warn you there's some suggestive language in here, but I'll try to keep it to a minimum. The song is called WAP. And if you don't know what that stands for, I'm not even going to repeat it. Swipe your nose like a credit card. Hop on top. I want to ride. I do a Kegel while it's inside. Spit in my mouth. Look at my eyes. This is wet. Come take a dive. This is what the left, the liberal nut jobs, the pedophile perverts are saying is a number one hit song without one bit of outrage on their part. This is reaching the fans of Cardi B who are mostly prepubescent girls. This is unacceptable. But actually depicting, not even depicting, taking clips from what was going on in 2020 where the nut job Antifa and the basement dweller Black Lives Matter were attacking people in the name of George Floyd, who they wouldn't piss on if he was on fire. It was just an excuse to loot, pillage, and burn things down because they were righteously angry. News clips that were actually shown on every station for hours at a time during 2020. This is what they broadcast. This is not some, you know, idiots in sheets with eyes cut out, burning crosses on the lawn. This is actually real news footage that he took and put in his video. In contrast, Cardi B is singing about, well, you know what she's singing about. And that's reaching out to, the difference is that Jason Aldean's song actually has a pure point to it, and Cardi B is a illiterate moron who can't write a song to save her life. And the only reason she's popular is because she's the darling of the liberal media. Because that's what they're after, is sexualizing America. That's really all I have to say about that. I just think it's ridiculous that they're attempting to cancel Jason Aldean for writing a pure country rock song, which is quite good. I invite you to go on whatever music platform you have and give it a listen. Now, on to my next topic, which is also just absolutely bizarre. We are approximately 1 week removed from the Carly Russell saga breaking news, and I, like I'm sure many others, are still trying to wrap their heads around the ridiculous details that surround this story. Now, in case you don't know, I will briefly detail what this story is about. Carly Russell, a 25-year-old young woman from Alabama, while driving home from her shift around 9:30 p.m., discovered a toddler. Yes, you heard me correctly, a toddler walking along a busy interstate, wearing a diaper and a t-shirt. She pulled over and called 911 to report what was going on. And then after she hung up with 911, she immediately called a family member to let them know what was happening. While trying to save the child, the family member claims they heard a scream and the phone going dead. Carly Russell completely vanishes, and without a trace, and only to appear 48 hours later at her parents' house. Now, here's some context. Immediately, I would say maybe 24 hours after this happened, somebody claiming to be her brother gets on TikTok and immediately pulls the race card, reiterates the events, and cries about why America is not covering this as a major news, and you all know why. The police responded in 5 minutes. This story was all over the news within 12 hours. The police found her belongings on the ground next to the car. No Carly and no toddler. Now, through the, they did go into the footage from the interstate, saw Ms. Russell go into the woods and just basically followed the tracks and recovered her cell phone. Now, through the enlistment of the help of the Secret Service, who apparently cannot find who brought cocaine into the White House, but searched Carly Russell's phone and found searches 2 days before she went missing. And here's what she Googled. Do you have to pay for an Amber Alert? That's a little strange, no? Birmingham bus station one-way ticket to Nashville. That seems even more strange, even, you know, because she didn't live there. And maybe she just, you know, going to start her life over. Here's something that's pretty suspect. How to steal cash from a register without being caught. Well, that search will come into the story in a little bit later. The movie Taken, which is about a kidnapping with Liam Neeson, and the maximum age for Amber Alert. Now, 48 hours after Carly Russell went missing, she mysteriously appeared back at her parents' house, and she gave statements to police that, quite honestly, don't even pass the sniff test. Now, I will say that before this even started, that Carly had stolen some items from work, including a black bathrobe and a roll of toilet paper, then stopped at Target to pick up some snacks, which was Cheez-Its and granola bars, stopped off at a restaurant to pick up some takeout. Her wallet, purse, her wig, and her Apple Watch were all intact and recovered at the scene. Her cell phone was recovered in the woods. You know what was not recovered? Cheez-Its and granola bars, which she purchased from Target. And apparently the kidnapper, she apparently while going into the woods, said, well, let me not forget the Cheez-Its and granola bars. Do you see where this is going, folks? So now she's going into the woods, according to Carly Russell, she's going into the woods following this toddler. She's asking if the toddler is okay. And emerges a balding, red-headed white man who said the toddler is fine, slung Carly over his shoulder, which I'm assuming he was a very strong man, and ran into the woods, toddler and all, with this woman on her on his shoulder, hopped the fence. It's all according to Carly Russell, by the way. Hopped the fence with the toddler and this woman on his shoulders, which he this man might be a superhero. So I'm ruling Prince Harry out. Put her into an 18-wheeler where she heard the voice of a female and a toddler crying. She managed to escape, only to have a car catch up with her, and she was then double abducted. Here's where it gets interesting. Taken to a house, blindfolded, stripped naked, but not tied up, as according to Carly, the kidnapper told her he didn't want to leave any ligature marks. How sweet of him. She believes that the abductor did not sexually assault her, but instead she thinks he took pictures of her, and the female that was in the house played with her hair and fed her crackers and cheese. My guess is those Cheez-Its that Carly bought earlier from Target. She then was put into a car after several hours, where she managed to escape again, ran through the woods for her life, and when she emerged, she just happened to be on the street where her parents lived. Look how that worked out. Now, it shows a nearby Ring camera that Ms. Russell was walking calmly in the neighborhood on the sidewalk. As she got closer to her parents' house, she began running and flailing her arms as if she were in distress. And when she turns up at her parents' house, she says she had a tear in her shirt, a cut on her lip, and wait for it, $107 cash in her sock, which sounds logical to me. What's your problem? How is this story even possible? Wait, let me get this straight. The kidnappers did not want to leave any ligature marks, so they didn't tie her up. They blindfolded her. And they fed her crackers and cheese and played with her hair. Even though she was stripped naked, they gave her back her socks, which had $107 in cash in it. They just didn't want to take her money. Seems logical. I mean, you know, it's just another day in America. The media has given us the narrative that America doesn't care that a black woman went missing, and because we're all racist, it's not as sensationalized as when a white woman gets abducted. Everyone in the liberal media forgot about one thing. What in the fuck happened to the toddler that was walking along the interstate? Well, surprise! A few days after this saga hit the news and there were search parties and police resources and manpower investigating the story. In a statement made to her attorney, Carly Russell admitted that she made the whole thing up There was no baby. There was no kidnappers. She wasn't at a hotel with a lover. She didn't get kidnapped. She made the whole thing up, and she apologized and asked the public to pray for her and her mental state and her that she works through her issues. Folks, this is very, very bizarre. This ranks up there with one of the most bizarre stories I have ever watched on the news, read about, you name it. And I did a lot of research on this story because when I first heard it, I didn't believe it. I said something's up. I took a deep dive into this, and this is absolutely the most bizarre thing, at least in my top three, that I've ever seen in my life. It's a waste of police resources, manpower. They don't have a dollar figure yet. But this is the scary part is that this is still an open investigation, and criminal charges are being discussed. Not discussed as in we're going to charge her, we just don't know the details yet. They're still being discussed, and it's an open investigation. What is open about it? That's my question. What is open about this investigation? She told a bizarre story. She did go on record, made a statement through her attorney saying she made the whole thing up. And please pray for her and her mental state and pray that she gets through her issues. In my opinion, she should be 100%. She should be punished and to the fullest extent of the law. Because this is another Jussie Smollett case. Remember that guy? Remember hearing about a black man, a gay black man who went out in sub-zero temperatures in Chicago, Illinois, in the dead of winter at 2 o'clock in the morning to get a Subway sandwich, only to be accosted by two Jamaican men in MAGA hats to allegedly throw bleach on him and put a noose around his neck? Not before screaming out, "This is MAGA country." He lied. And the news media interviewed him I don't know how many times, and he said, "I stand by my statement. This actually happened." But he had Don Lemon calling him saying, "Hey, the police don't believe you." As soon as that detail was released, that should have been clear cut right there that he was a liar. But even without that, Chicago is not MAGA country. Well, it turns out that that Jussie Smollett paid these Jamaican brothers by a personal check, and even rehearsed the attack before it happened. Now, as bizarre as that is, the police still spent a considerable amount of time in investigating this story, especially because it was against a gay black man, and it was by apparently perpetrators in MAGA hats, and the media jumped all over, the liberal media jumped all over it. And we all knew it was bullshit. This is pretty much the same thing. Every single detail that I came across in this story of Carly Russell is complete bullshit. She knew it. I knew it. A person of average intelligence. And even some of the liberal media, I believe, knew it too. But they are paid to carry the water for anybody that this happens to that is a person of color. Color gets attacked or is reported kidnapped or missing or what have you, it is all over the news. Black man being shot by police, that's the first thing they say. A black man was shot by police. What difference does it make? You can't say a man was shot by police today. Why is it all about race? Why do you have to put race in it? a man is a man regardless of what color he is. And having these things be newsworthy, you're dividing the country even more by putting the race narrative into it. It doesn't matter. How many times are you going to say a white man was shot by police today? I'm sure a lot if you reported it. This is just absolutely bizarre. And the fact that it's an ongoing investigation is pretty bizarre to me. I have no idea what charges are even going to be levied, if any. At the time of this broadcast, there was no further information that I have regarding that. But, you know, in my opinion, she definitely should be punished. And to be honest, I think she deserves some prison time. At least, if not prison time, a hefty fine, restitution, and probation. And here's a bit of advice to the parents who were interviewed by NBC. You said you wanted to make a statement. You get on NBC, and you say absolutely nothing. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I watched that interview, and I could see the father sitting there saying absolutely nothing. And I could tell by his body language that the warden or his wife was doing all the talking, and I could tell by his body language that even he knew the story was bullshit. And if you didn't catch that, go on YouTube or NBC or what have you and go look up the interview. I'm sure it's streaming out there. I actually watched it live. And it was just, to be honest with you, I have an idea of why this was, you know, orchestrated. It's my personal opinion, but I just think she's, you know, mentally unstable. And I think she definitely needs I definitely think she needs counseling. So I hope she gets some help, because this is going to follow her wherever she goes. She got her 15 minutes of fame, and it's only a matter of time before Netflix does a series deal or a movie deal. And I also believe it's a matter of time before Al Sharpton and Ben Crump rear their heads and even racially sensationalize the story even more. Now, folks, just a reminder that if you're a fan of the content I provided on this broadcast, you could also tune in to my colleague's broadcast as well, Marcus Keynes, As I See It, every Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. I do want to tell you thank you so much for listening to my show. I am truly grateful to have this platform and provide this information to you on a weekly basis. Truly appreciate each and every one of you. I'd like to thank you again for tuning into this broadcast. We'll see you next week. Until then, join me next Wednesday, same bat time, same bat channel.
This is Talk 29, the best in talk.